When The Sopranos ended its 8 seasons with the door opening in a diner, it was sometimes hailed as the best television series ever. But a number of critics used that obscure ending as an occasion to say that actually, TV's best show ever was a Canadian series that was repeated and praised on the Sundance Channel in the United States. Slings and Arrows is the story of a Canadian Shakespeare festival facing hard times. The backstage toilet is stuffed, the lights are shaky, and their new artistic director, Jeffrey Tennant, is a certifiable madman who holds a soiled plunger on stage as he explains to his actors a scene from The Tempest.
A theater is an empty space. As per the 400-year-old stage direction, we begin with a tempestuous noise of thunder and lightning. It is a storm of color and sound, a dense, unnatural storm.
For 3 seasons, Slings and Arrows winds through romances and rivalries, glories and disgraces on stage and off. For the first time, all 3 seasons are available on DVD from Acorn Media. Mark McKinney, one of the former kids in the hall, created, co-wrote, and appears in the series. The series stars Paul Gross, still familiar to many Americans as the Mountie from Due South, Martha Burns, and a whole gaggle of the most gifted Canadian character actors ever, including young Rachel McAdams. Paul Gross, the actor and director, joins us now from Calgary, where he's directing a new film. Mr. Gross, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And Martha Burns joins us from the CBC in Toronto. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Scott.
And maybe we should explain you're married, but for the moment separated by art.
Yes, in our large country.
What were, if I can ask each of you, what were the special pleasures of doing this series?
Really, I think the greatest pleasure was the material itself, the writing. Then it brought this an amazing combination of kind of craziness and great tenderness to all of these characters. And then secondarily, just working with everyone that was involved in it. It was a terrific cast, and it was just an awful lot of fun to go to work every day.
Martha Burns?
I feel the same way. The writing was a huge attraction, very, very funny, but also with a great deal of heart. And that it never felt like episodic. It was always the bigger arc of the character in this, what seems to be very small lives, people worried about petty things, you know, that passion in the workplace is something that everyone, not just theater people, could relate to all the wants and dislikes and desires of all our characters.
And I think the other thing for all of us is that because we were always dealing with Shakespeare as the underpinning of everything. It had the pettiness could get laid against the grandeur of the great plays of Hamlet and of Macbeth and King Lear. So I always kind of felt, well, even if this scene isn't particularly engaging, we at least have King Lear to balance things out.
I want to play another clip, and this is important in the progression of the series. This is a flashback, and it's after your character, Mr. Gross, has had what by all reports is a stunning and shattering performance as Hamlet. You and Martha Burns and Stephen Lamette as Oliver, the director. And it's the three of you sharing, I think, an enthusiasm that maybe save for childbirth that might be very difficult for people to know about. This is the three of them after that play.
My life, I have never felt anything even remotely like this feeling. You were incredible tonight. You broke my heart. And not just mine, I mean everybody's. Did you hear that woman, the one in the second row on the left there? She was wailing like she'd lost her child. Oh, but listen, this is the thing. We gotta make it exactly like this every night, every single night, exactly like this. And how are we going to do that?
Hi, there's the rub.
Let me ask, is that the rub? I mean, is that what drove your character, Jeffrey Tennant, mad?
I think so. I think it drives a lot of people kind of crazy. It's, you know, the theater has the wonderful thing about it, of course, is that you do have that interaction with an audience, and it is played live. But when you do have those times where you think, oh, I've got this just right, it's almost impossible to recover it. And so it can be extraordinarily frustrating.
May I ask you, I gather you two at one point met on stage years ago?
We did, in a rehearsal room, actually, but to prepare for a play called Walsh, where Paul played, interestingly enough, a Mountie, and I, before the days of cultural appropriation, played an Indian princess. And I don't think we actually spoke together on stage, but we managed to create a few glances. And Yeah, that's where it all began.
And then we would neck off stage, and I'd be covered with Indian makeup going on stage.
Well, that's why the cultural appropriation came in. So you,
that's right.
Although I guess stage makeup anyway. Martha Burns, there's a scene in, I think, the second season with a young actor, played, in fact, by Rachel McAdam, in which you, as the somewhat older actor, counsels her to go off with her boyfriend. And she says she'd rather stay there at the festival and play Juliet next season. And your character says, don't play Juliet, live her. Is that an anxiety that sometimes plays with actors? That they're playing life, not living it?
Oh, I think so. Anything that you do as an actor, I guess anything that you're passionate about, you're totally immersed in. But I think there's something about doing the classics, too, where it takes such, you know, such the large part of yourself. And you, for 2 or 3 hours a night or for 10 minutes in front of a screen, you're living your life to the very fullest. And that's so attractive and seductive. And you can decide that that's really where you are having the fullest experience. And then the day-to-day difficulties of life can seem like something that you... can avoid.
Mm-hmm. It does strike me that on the one hand, in Slings and Arrows, you have to be a gifted performer of a certain kind of light, sprightly, and well-written comedy, but you also, the Shakespeare stuff has to be persuasive. Is that hard to get in one actor?
I think the thing is that, you know, when people who are accustomed to playing Shakespeare, a lot of the dynamism comes out of the use of the language in the performance, and when you fall back into thinking about it in the context of a stage performance, you feel like you're not providing enough dynamism when you're on a set, but of course you forget that the camera is there and throwing in a whole lot of energy. So it was really refreshing to see the stuff. I think the toughest performance in so far as the Shakespeare is concerned would have been Luke, who played Hamlet in the first year, because he had around him all of these people who had either played Hamlet or been in Hamlets or played it. And he was just deluged with this tonnage of unsolicited advice about how to be really
this
good
is
at
the,
it.
He plays the young American film star who's brought in to give a little pizzazz to the box
That's
office.
Right, yeah.
Let's have another clip if we could. This is at the premiere of Hamlet, and Mr. Grocer character Jeffrey Tennant is instructing his star, the American movie star, how to go through the soliloquies one by one.
You are disgusted with yourself. You are a coward. You are not a man. You are a weak and passionless failure.
Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I.
On some level, you long for this to be over. You long for rest, mental, spiritual rest.
I know this one. To be or not to be, that is the question.
I think that this is just the best short sequence I have ever seen about how to make a play move. And I have to ask you, you're directing a lot now, Mr. Gross, is it true?
You know, I played Hamlet not all that long before we were doing this, we were doing Slings and Arrows, and I think that the writers actually got it. It is kind of true. If you can hit those soliloquies and they're the islands you go to, then you can negotiate your way through the part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just in general, what they managed to bring to Jeffrey is the pure enthusiasm for theater at its absolute edge, that the core of Shakespeare is as relevant today as it was 400 years ago. And, you know, much of this stuff can get lost inside of commerce and in contemporary culture. But when it's really honest, it's going to move people.
It's been delightful to talk to both of you. Thank you very much for all of your time.
Thank you
great
so
pleasure
much
to talk
for your
to you.
Interest.
Martha Burns in Toronto, Paul Gross in Calgary. The entire 3 seasons of the acclaimed television series Slings and Arrows has just been released on DVD by Acorn Media.